teja.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Please recite الصلوات. We are living in a world of diversity. We're living in a world and a time that there's difference of opinion pretty much on anything you can find. We're living in a world at a time where Muslims are no longer one complete entity. We're divided on various issues. We look larger, mankind is divided based on only religion, if we look at it, into different followers of different religions. When we look at Muslims, we see, we find the name Islam, but within Islam we see lots of different factions, different sects. When we look within us as Shias, we see we have differences. We have differences on issues of our practices. I follow this marja, you follow some other marja, and one says to do this and this issue, and the other says to do something else in that particular issue. Not only on that, on issues of faith, our beliefs, there are differences of opinion. Yes, we all believe in one God, we all believe in the fact that God is just. We believe in prophethood, and that the last prophet is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We believe in the concept of imamah as Shias. We all believe in that. We all believe in the concept of ma'ad, that there's going to be a resurrection, a day of judgment. What is that? It? Is that all the things that relate to our belief system? The details of these issues, there's lots of discussions among scholars. One small example, the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt, the Imams. How much is it? Have you heard any discussions on that? What type of knowledge is it? Knowledge of the unseen, we believe they have it. How much do they have? To what extent? Difference of opinion. We all believe in the day of judgment and resurrection, but is that day and that realm of existence, is that going to be physical or is it only spiritual? There is a controversy on that amongst Shia scholars. Many, many different issues, not just the practical laws. There's a lot of different opinions when it comes to even issues that are related to our faith, to our beliefs. about the infallibility of the Imams and the Holy Prophet. We believe in that. But how far does it go? We've had scholars in the past that used to believe that the infallibility, as some have translated it, and some argue that this is not the best translation for the word isma, but anyhow, how far does it go? Does it include them not making mistakes also, or is it only about sin? There's difference of opinion. In the past we had people that, scholars that believed that they were not flawless in that sense. They do make mistakes. Now the majority of scholars don't believe such, with reason, with proof. But we did have scholars that believed in that. And we do have some not very famous scholars that believe in that today. There's a lot of different issues that we vary on when it comes to opinion on our faith. What are we supposed to do? Some people say we should unite. Some people say the Shias should unite. Unite on what, when you ask? They say, oh, we should have one day of Eid. Why is it that one practices or one celebrates Eid on one day and the other one celebrates Eid on a different day? And some families have individuals that follow this marja and the other marja and the other marja, and they end up having three Eids. They say, well, we should unite. We should all do that the same way. Why can't we only have one marja? Why can't only we follow one person and be united? Amongst Muslims, you have this, some people talk about unity. Say, oh, we should be unified, we should be one. The enemies are getting us because of our differences. Look at the sectarian violence that's going on in Iraq. Why is that? Because of differences. We should unite. And then you have others on the other hand, amongst Shias and amongst Sunnis, that say, oh, we can't unite. How could I unite with somebody that does not acknowledge that Yazid did bad, did wrong, when he went against Imam Hussein salamu alayhi. Say salawat. Say, we can't sit on the same table. They have got to acknowledge that Yazid is a bad person. Until they do that, and some other individuals as well, until they mention and acknowledge these points that we believe in, there's no point in unity. What are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to have unity or not? Are we supposed to be united? How are we supposed to be united? What's the meaning of unity? Does it mean that we should all practice the same thing? Well, let me tell you one thing. Until the coming of the 12th Imam, Ajjalallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, there's no way that you can force everybody to believe that only on one thing and everyone agree to practice one thing. It's impossible. That's what the hadith has as well. We don't have the luxury of being with an imam. All these points of controversy, if the imam was available, we'd go ask him, wouldn't we? That wouldn't be difficult. We don't have to go through all these different arguments and come up with difference of opinion. We'll just go ask the imam and he'll give us the answer and that's it. About Eid, what day is it? Is it Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, when is it? Until the 12th imam comes, practically it's impossible. The Imam, if I'm not mistaken, the hadith has been narrated in Uyun Akhbar al-Rida of Shaykh al-Saduq, rahmatullah alayh, that when an individual asked the Imam about the purpose of having an Imam, one of the things that the Imam says, that he will do the Eid for you. He will unite you on Eid. We see that. We don't have the Imam with us. We don't have the Imam with us because us as people at large, not you particular, human beings at large, do not deserve to have the imam with us. Because we showed that at the time of the imams, we killed them one after another as human beings at large. Again, once I said this somewhere and someone got upset. And they got up after the prayer and said, oh, you know, this is not right. That's not why the imam is in ghaibah. This is a fact, okay? You can look at hadith book, you can look at Kitab al-Ghaibah, Nu'mani and Shaykh Tusi and the others, Kamal al-Din and Shaykh Saduq. There's numerous hadith. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing the people as well, but the fact is that if it wasn't for what the people did to the imam and would have done to the imam at age 5, okay, had he not gone into the occultation, the people didn't deserve to have an imam with them. The imam is not there for one or two individuals that you say, oh, there were these believers there. The imam is there for humanity at large. And they stopped them and limited them so that when the 11th imam, salamullahi alayhi, when people wanted to come and visit him, they would have to pretend that they're selling cucumbers and put it on their heads and go into that street and get close to the house of the imam and somehow ask him a question. Because this is what people did. Anyhow, we don't have the luxury of having the imam with us. Until we have the imam with us, practically it is impossible to have this unity in this sense. Yes, the ideal is all of mankind be unified under one flag, believe in one thing, practice one thing. Inshallah, when the 12th imam comes, that will be happening. But until he comes, how can we? There's no authority that we could be sure 100%. I mean, the highest authorities that we have that we're supposed to refer to are the scholars. They go through the books, and their understanding from these books is going to be different. That's how it is. That's impossible. So what are we supposed to do? Some people, when they want to unite the Shia and the Sunni, let me start with this one first before I get to uniting amongst Shias, us together. Some people, when they want to talk about unity, and they say, oh, let's unite. You know what they do? They say, oh, this part of our faith, we don't have to talk about that. We don't have to talk about that. Let's invite the others to come to our centers. We don't talk about it. We won't talk about this, we won't talk about that, we won't talk about that. Oh, we all believe in the same thing. Yes, brother, assalamu alaikum, how are you doing? We all believe in the same thing. It's okay, we can put our hands up like that too, sometimes. There's no fear, no nothing. Just let's have them over our center, it's okay, we'll do like that too sometimes. I've seen this, brothers, okay? There's masjids in the U.S. that the people that are running them, some of them are doing this. It's not a joke. It's serious. This is one idea. This is, in order to unify, okay, let's put aside the differences. Let's just stop believing in those parts of the religion that make us different. Is this unity? Yeah, it would be called unity, but it's unity on Vatih. That's not the point in unity. Unifying on something that's wrong. And interestingly, if we wanted to do that, it's going to be unifying on something that everybody agrees is wrong. Because if the other schools of thought were supposed to unify with us in that way, okay, then they have to put aside those parts of their beliefs, and we have to put aside our parts, and I'm sure this is wrong, they're sure that's wrong. What is that? This is not an option, okay? This is wrong. We don't compromise our faith. We don't compromise our faith. If we wanted to compromise our faith, the imams would not have gone through what they wanted, what they went. Okay. Salawat. One other option that seems like this one is growing a little more, that sounds nice to some people, is, yeah, I believe in what I believe in, and I believe this is right, but I also believe it's okay for you to believe in that. That's also right. That one's also right. The Christians are right too. Everybody's right. We're all right. Everything leads to God. The Buddhists and the Hindus and the Muslims and Shias and Sunnis and Wahhabis and Salafis and everybody's right. Everybody leads to God. They draw this circle. They're like, oh, this one goes from this direction, that one goes from that direction, this one goes from... It all leads to God. So, I won't change my faith. You don't need to change yours either. We're both right. What's left with that? I don't understand. They call it pluralism. And I don't understand how people like that, you know, keep to their faith. If you believe everything is right, then why do you keep to this? Why do you call yourself Shia and say, oh, everything else is right too? If everything is right, then follow something else. If everything is right. Everything can't be right. How could two contradicting views both be right? One says God is one, the other says God is three. Or God is 100, depending on how many idols we have in our temple. How could both these views? I deny that there's any God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. If this is true, the opposite of it cannot be true. How could that make sense? I don't understand. This is also an option that if you're familiar with the alphabet of Islam, you would know that this is something that Islam rejects, the idea. Why did the prophets come and start telling people, don't do that and don't do this? Follow this path. That's not right. What is possible, and I'd like to go and see what we're supposed to do, what is possible is to say that, okay, we have two options available to us that would make sense. Either we have to keep our belief. Okay. The question is, should we keep our faith and associate with the others, try to treat them as brothers in a way, treat them well, don't treat them as non-Muslims? I'm talking in general here, okay, both us and them, the other schools of thought. Do we consider each other Muslim? This is one option. We call this unity. I keep my faith. I keep my principles. And this is the way I practice it. I will let you know. And I don't believe that both my version and your version is true Islam. Okay. But I don't rule you as kafir. I won't call you kafir. I'll consider you Muslim. This is one option, which would mean that we would have to associate with others as well. This is one option. The other option is, no, I'm Muslim, you're not. You're not means you're kafir. Okay. I don't want to associate with you. This is another option. Which one do we take? There's different views on this. We hear some people that are very, very much against this. They say, oh, Sunnis, keep away from those guys. They view followers of that school of thought as the ones who founded that school of thought. And say they're all the same. Those who took the Khilafah from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Salamullah alayhi, they say, oh, all these guys are like the same. They're all the same. Those guys and their followers are all going to be this and that, and we shouldn't associate with them. And some people say, oh, for the sake of unity, we should have unity because of this, because of that. Alright, I've heard enough of because of this, and I believe in that, and we should or we shouldn't. What did the Ahlul Bayt say? Shouldn't we be following them? Aren't the Ahlul Bayt there for guidance? Didn't this issue exist at their time? We know that after Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayhi, the Shia community started growing. We had different cities that had Shia communities in them. It started in Kufa, a little bit in Basra, then it grew. We had some in Qum, we had some in Yemen, in Qazwin, in Ahwaz, in other places. It existed at that time. Why don't we read what they have to say? Let me read to you a very interesting hadith from Imam al-Sadiq salamullah alayh. Very interesting, and by the way, it's an authentic hadith. I'm very picky on reading hadith. Some people believe that you can just go to 110 volumes of Biharun Anwar and just pick out any hadith and explain it to people and say that's the view of the Ahlul Bayt. That's not the case, brothers and sisters. Let me just point to this fact that history tells us, authentic narrations tell us that at the times of the Imams, we had people that would purposely lie on behalf of the Ahlul Bayt. There's a narration from the 8th Imam, Salamullah alayhi, Imam al-Ridha. It's very sad, but I'd have to say it so it would fix up this misconception about our heritage of hadith. A companion came to him and mentioned somebody's name. The conversation goes on. In the conversation, the Imam says, may Allah curse Abul Khattab. Abul Khattab is not, don't mix it up with the second Khalifa. Abul Khattab, okay, not Ibn al-Khattab. Abul Khattab. Abul Khattab, may Allah curse him. He used to take the book, him and his companions, they used to take the books of my father's companions and say, lend me the book. They would take it, they would add hadith to that with chain of narrators and give it back to the person. So he opens it up and says, oh, nice hadith. They mixed fabricated hadith with true hadith and true sayings of the Ahlul Bayt. This is a fact. We have that in our books. We're not sure 100% that every single thing that's in those books, Allah Majlisi himself did not believe that everything that's in that Bahar al-Anwar is 100% true and from the Ahlul Bayt. So it's not easy just pick up a book. We have a whole science in the Hawza that deals with the authenticity of these narrations called Ilm al-Rijal. So we go over the narrators. It's not easy. You can't just pick up. Anyhow, this is an authentic one. A companion, close companion of the sixth Imam, Zayd al-Shahham, narrates this. He says, I went to the Imam, and the Imam said, اقرأ على من ترى أنه يطيعني منهم ويأخذ بقولي السلام. Relay my salams to those of them, but I'll explain, that you see they follow and they obey me, tell them I said salam. It's interesting. It says minhum. It says man tara annahu yuti'uni minhum. Whoever you see that obeys me from them, who is them? It's the people that believe in the Ahlul Bayt. It says, tell the ones that you see will obey what I have to say. When it comes to these issues that I will read, unfortunately we read that some of the companions of the Imams, for some reason, okay, they believed in Imamate, but they wouldn't follow these orders, and they caused problems for the Imams. Sometimes the Imams have to even curse them for what they did. Inshallah, I hope we don't do that to our 12th Imam, inshallah ta'ala, Sharif. So he says, tell him, I said, salam, wa'usikum bitaqwa Allahi azza wa jal wal wara'a fi deenikum. I advise you to taqwa wal-ijtihad lillah wa sidq al-hadith wa ada' al-amana wa tul al-sujood wa husn al-jawar. I advise you to these, to be God-wary, to have wara'. Wara' is a stage above taqwa, is that you're always worried, you're always conscious of every single step you take. Is this halal? Is it haram? Is this, am I doing my wajibat? This is state of wara. Wal ijtihad. Struggle for your religion. Shouldn't be just, you know, relaxed, kicking it, and think that we're doing our responsibilities. Wa sidq al hadith, be truthful. Don't lie. Shias should be known as that. Wa ada' al amana, that we are trustworthy with the trust that have been given to us. وطول السجود, that they should have long sujoods. وحسن الجوار, they should be good to the people that are around them. فبهذا جاء محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أدوا الأمانة إلى من ائتمنكم عليها birran aw fajran. This is something that applies not just to non-Muslims, not just to non-Shias, also to non-Muslims. The Imam says you should be trustworthy with what you're given. Okay, whether the person who gives it to you is bar or fajr, whether he's good or very bad. We know that one of the people that was very, very rude with the Ahlul Bayt, very disrespectful, he was the one who told the ruler of Medina to chop off the head of Imam Hussein right there in that session. Okay, Marwan ibn Hakam. Okay, something happened in Medina. Yazid sent an army to take care of the people there. Marwan came and gave his family and asked the Imam, the fourth Imam, salamullah alayhi, to take care of his family. The Imam didn't reject him. He took his family, put him in his house. Everyone in the Imam's house was safe. This is what the Imams show us. Barran aw fajr. Whether they're good or bad. If you're given, if you're trusted with something, don't break that trust. Sometimes we say, unfortunately, some of the more, maybe they consider themselves more religious too, that, oh, these people are kafir, it's okay. Don't have to keep the promise. Don't have to abide by the laws. فَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ يَأْمُرُ بِأَدَاءِ الْخَيْطِ وَالْمَخِيطِ. The Holy Prophet used to say that you should, as small item as a needle and a thread, okay, if you're trusted with that, you should give that back to them. صِلُوا عَشَائِرِكُمْ. This is where the reason why I read this hadith is from here on. صِلُوا عَشَائِرَكُمْ. Have connections, relate to your عَشَائِر. عَشِيرَ means the larger family, okay, it's called عَشِيرَ. صِلُوا عَشَائِرَكُمْ. Why is the Imam telling, sixth Imam is telling his companion to do that? We have to understand at that time, especially at the time of the sixth Imam, this is when gradually the numbers of Shias are increasing. Okay, a couple people in every عَشِيرَ, every family are accepting this way of thought. Okay, the Imam is saying, "Silu ashairakum." The call for silatul rahim, okay, was there from the time of the Prophet. This is an extra emphasis because of this reason. When they would start believing in the concept of imamat, they used to exclude others. They used to cut off their relationships or lessen the relationship. The Imam says, "Silu ashairakum." No, have relations with them. وَاشْهَدُوا جَنَائِزَهُمْ. If one of them dies, although they're not following your belief, but participate in that burial ceremony when one of them dies. وَعُودُوا مَرْضَاهُمْ. If one of them gets sick, go and visit them. وَأَدُّوا حُقُوقَهُمْ. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرِعَ فِي دِينِهِ. You should give them their rights. If they have some rights, you should fulfill those rights. Respect those rights. Then the Imam says this, فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْكُمْ إِذَا وَرِعَ فِي دِينِهِ وَصَدَّقَ الْحَدِيثِ وَأَدَّ الْأَمَانَ وَحَسُنَ خُلْقُهُ مَعَ النَّاسِ. If one of you is very pious in his religion, he's truthful, he doesn't break his trust, the trust that are given to him, and he has good morals, good manners when he speaks to people, they say, هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌ. This is a follower of the school of Qadr, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. فَيَسُرُّنِي ذَلِكَ. That makes me happy. We don't want to make the 12th Imam happy. The Imam is saying you should be such that when people see you, see your conduct, the way you live, they should say, this is a Muslim guy, this is Shia, this is the follower of the Ahlul Bayt, to make the Imams happy. Is that like that? Or is somebody, as soon as somebody say, when they want to say, oh, get away from this person, like, oh, this is Muslim, or he's Shia. The more religious we look, the farther away they want to stay away from us. Why? Yes, some of it's because of the media. That's true. Is all of it because of that? Have we done what the Imam is saying here? وَإِذَا كَانَ عَلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ دَخَلَ عَلَى عَلَيَّ بَلَاؤُهُ وَعَارُهُ. If they're not doing this, then the bad name will come for me. They will say, oh, these guys are Shias. You do something bad, they say, oh, they're the follower of this person, of Ja'far. Salaam Allah alayhi. There's many other ones too, the hadith, that say, صِلُوا عَشَائِرَكُمْ. There's other hadith in the same section. If you want to look this hadith up, this is in the second volume of the book Al-Kafi, that's compiled by Shaykh Kulaini. Second volume in the section of Kitab Al-Ishra, okay, or Mu'ashara, I believe it is. That first section in that chapter has about 5-6 hadith. Some of them explicitly mention the person, the companion, goes to the Imam and says, what should I do with my relatives and the people that are around me that do not believe in what I do in your wilayat? What should I do? The Imam says the same thing. The Imam did not want us to stay away from, disassociate ourselves from the other schools of thought. That's not what the Imams told us. The Imams told us to actually associate with them. Don't change your faith. If you see this one is really hard-headed and he keeps trying to change your faith, constantly arguing with you, and you don't have the resources to research what he's saying, that's something else. But the way we've been taught sometimes, and some people keep emphasizing it, as soon as we see one, we keep our distance, we make a face at them. Instead of saying Salaamu Alaikum, we should be the first ones to say Salaam. Yes, they're not going to be respectful, some of them. They know I'm Shia. But Imam As-Sadiq told us, forget about what they do, you do this, okay? You respect. You be good. You have good conduct with them. They should know the Shias in the community. When hardship comes, and they want something done, they want to trust something, somebody for something, they should come to us. We should be known for that in the community. How does that happen? You don't just put your hands up and pray that God does that, okay? As these conducts, you have to show that. We have to be like that. The Ahlul Bayt didn't teach us to stay away from them, keep our distance. As I said, yes, sometimes some of them try to change our faith. It weakens us. That's something else. Okay. The Holy Quran says when you're sitting in a gathering that your beliefs, your faith is being made fun of, is being disrespected, don't sit there. If they're talking about, now this is, again, this is a general point, not just for the followers of the other schools of Islam, as general. If someone's making fun of the existence of God on some TV show, we don't keep it on and keep listening to it. That weakens the faith. The Quran tells us not to do that. So that's one thing, but the conduct that we should have with the followers of the other schools of thought is that we should not disassociate, we should associate. We should act good. This is what the Ahlul Bayt taught us. This is the unity that makes sense. We don't compromise. We don't follow what they say. We keep ours, but we're respectful. Amongst the Shias, recite the salawat, please. Again, as I said, there's no way we can unite in the sense that all of us believe in exactly the same thing, okay? An issue comes, I read this book from Allama Tabatabai, he believes some tafsir of this verse, somebody else reads another tafsir, and that other scholar believes in something else. I start believing in this, and the other one starts believing in that, accepting that, because that sounds more logical to him, and this one sounds more logical to me. This is going to exist until the 12th Imam comes. We don't need to change that. Okay, we don't, except for these five pillars of faith that we need to have and we need to be sure about. Those details of the faith are not something that the Ahlul Bayt wanted us to draw lines and become enemies based on that, which is happening right now. Somebody doesn't believe the extent that I believe in, for instance, of the knowledge of the Ahlul Bayt. Next day in my journal, in my newsletter, whatever I have in the center, everyone's disassociating with this guy. Oh, he's not Shia. This is not what we're supposed to do, brothers and sisters. We're supposed to be together. I'll read the hadith, inshallah, in a few minutes. But there's two things that I see that's causing a lot of disunity amongst Shias. One of them is kind of natural that we need to just be aware of. And the other one is, I got a few words to say about. One issue is that unfortunately we see that amongst the Shias we're drawing lines based on ethnicity. When you go to an Iranian center, you see that non-Iranians are not treated the same. When you go to an Iraqi center, you see the non-Iraqis are not treated the same. When you go to a Pakistani masjid, the non-Pakistanis are not treated the same sometimes. When you go to a Khoja masjid, you see the non-Khoja is not treated the same as the Khojas. This is not something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us. This is not something that the Holy Quran has taught us. The verse we've all heard probably numerous times, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I created all of you from one male and female. It doesn't matter who you're related to right now. We're all one big family, okay, whether we like it or not. We're all the children of Adam and Eve. We're all related. It doesn't matter what part of the world I come from. We're all related. We're from one man and woman, from Adam and Eve. And that the reason why we're different tribes and different colors and all that, from different regions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِتَعَارَفُ, so that you would know the difference of one another. You can call somebody, there's two Ali's, say, oh, this Ali is from this city and that Ali is from that city. From this family, from the other family. This is his last name, that's the other surname. That's the reason behind that. Not for differences in ranks than to consider myself better than the other in any way. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. That the most highly viewed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who have more piety. That should be the criterion for loving one another and respecting one another the more. There's a certain level of respect and love that we give to even non-Muslims. But there's a higher level relationship that we should have between us as Shias. Let me read a couple of hadith about this feeling of creating barriers because of ethnicity. The sixth Imam Salamullahi Alayhi has been quoted to have said, he narrates from the Holy Prophet, مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ حَبَّةٌ مِنْ خَرْدَلْ مِنْ عَصَبِيَّةٍ بَعْثَهُ اللَّهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مَعَ أَعْرَابِ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. If a person has one bit, حَبَّةٌ مِنْ خَرْدَلْ, I don't know how many of you have seen a mustard seed, how small it is. It says that if you have that much عصبية in your heart, and I'll explain through another hadith what عصبية means, okay? We, or that person, would be raised on the Day of Judgment with the A'rab al-Jahiliyyah. A'rab, okay, is not the plural of Arab. Okay, A'rab means the nomads, okay, the less civilized Arabs at the time of Jahiliyyah, okay. In other words, people that have not accepted Islam. That is, the least civilized people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise them with them, no matter what society, what civilization they're living. If they have this in their heart, they're the same as those people in the eyes of Allah. What is عصبية? Another hadith says, سُئِلَ عَلِيُّ بْنُ الْحُسَيْنِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ. عَنِ الْعَصَبِيَّةِ. It was asked, the fourth Imam was asked about عصبية. What is it? فقال العصبية التي يأثم عليها صاحبها أن يرى الرجل شرار قومه خيرا من خيار قوم آخرين. عصبية is that a person sees the bad people from his clan, from his family, from his tribe, from his ethnicity better than the good people from the other ethnicities or tribes. Say salawat. This hadith says, عصبية, okay, he says the عصبية that is sinful is this, that you like the people from your ethnicity that are not as good, you like them better than the good people from another ethnicity, from another tribe. This is the bad عصبية. The other hadith said, if anyone has عصبية, generally, they will be raised with the عرب of جاهلية. What is the combination? The Imam is saying the criterion for love, okay, because he says the bad people in your ethnicity should not be liked. Okay, you should like the people, even if they're from another ethnicity, the good people from that ethnicity should be loved by you. The criterion of love and respect, more respect and liking, should be the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the practice. I don't treat someone that's my family who is not practicing at all the same or better than a very practicing Muslim, a very practicing brother from another ethnicity. This is the bad عصبية. What should gather us together is not being related, because we're all related. What should gather us together more is the belief, the levels of faith. The more faithful one is, we should love them more. The other issue that's caused a lot of fitna in communities, in Muslim or Shia communities, is the issue of marja'iyya, unfortunately. Instead of getting us closer together, because we all believe that we should, every marja says you have to follow a marja, every scholar says you have to follow a marja, it's logical that we should follow a marja. Now that common ideology amongst all of us has come to be a point of difference. Something we draw lines on. Oh, he follows this ayatullah. I don't like him. He follows the other ayatullah. The ayatollahs themselves don't have a serious problem with one another. Did you know that? Yes, they have difference of opinion. But if you go to their offices, not to their office, go to them themselves. Okay, sometimes the offices could create a barrier. Go to them. Go to the marja himself. A true marja doesn't have any problem with another marja. He knows he's a brother in faith. He has a difference of opinion about understanding a particular text. The followers of the marja cause a lot more differences than the marja themselves. The marja pray behind one another. I've seen it. I'm coming from Qom. There's a bunch of marja there. They pray behind one another. But here, you say, oh no, that person, he's following this ayatollah. This shouldn't be something we draw lines on. And the other thing about Eid and the numbers of days that we celebrate Eid, I think we're making it too big of a deal. Okay. A lot of people say, oh, we should be united. What are other people going to think when they see we're celebrating Eid on 3 days? But other people aren't saying anything. It's us. We are saying a lot of things. Nobody else is even paying attention to what we're doing about Eid. This, as I said, this is going to happen. What are you going to say? Okay, this is how the marja has understood this. Okay, he's put all his efforts in understanding these texts, putting all those together. It's not an easy job, alright? It's a very, very tough task to go through all those verses and hadith, try to figure out which hadith is more authentic, which one is less authentic, and what the Islamic perspective on that is. It's not an easy task, okay? He's done his best and he's come up with this understanding, and he believes that the other understanding is not correct. He can't say, oh, I believe that this is right, but go ahead and follow that. If your research shows that this marja is more knowledgeable than the rest, okay, then I can't tell you you should follow somebody else when it comes to this issue. My research tells me that on the day of judgment, if I follow somebody else, okay, and what they said was actually not in accordance with Islam, I won't have an excuse. I'll be punished, okay. What can I do that my research has showed this? I think we should stop making this such a big deal about and causing so much difference of opinion. Yeah, he considers this Eid based on the marja's opinion. One marja, Atla Khoi, believed in the unity of the horizons. Atla Sistani doesn't. Atla Khamenei doesn't. And one believes in the issue of the telescope being sufficient to see the moon. The other one doesn't. Alright, that's how it is. That's how it's going to be until the Imam comes. Praying on the day that according to your marja you have to pray. If you pray, if you consider another day as Eid when it's not Eid, or you fast on the day that on according to your marja that day is Eid, okay, if on the day of judgment, if you're asked why did you fast on that day when it was Eid and it's haram to fast on that day, okay, you can't say because my marja told me, because your marja didn't tell you. Your research showed marja A is more knowledgeable, and according to him, today is Eid, okay? Because of this so-called unity, which is not unity, I follow somebody else. This is, I don't know why these talks are going around. We should stick to what all the maraja agree upon, that you need to do your research, find out who is more knowledgeable, not everybody's research is going to show the same thing, okay? And follow what that maraja has got to say. And I don't see any problem with that. I don't see any disunity in that sense in that. What's the problem with loving a brother that prayed Eid yesterday and I prayed today? we make it too big of a deal. Lastly, I would like to say that we're not doing enough to keep our communities together. What the Ahlul Bayt want us to do about our own relationships is a lot more than what we do. Very beautiful narration from Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam. Khaytan, a companion of him, is visiting Medina. On the way out of Medina, he's going back to Kufa. He says, I went to the Imam and I wanted to say farewells to him. The Imam told me this. Ya Khaytama, abligh man tara min mawalina salam. Tell the ones who follow us, give them, relay them my salam. Wa awsihim bi taqwallahi al-azim. This emphasis that Amirul Mu'mineen has had in his will to his son, the Imam has had in the Holy Quran, it's emphasized. Taqwallahi al-azim, he repeats that. وَأَنْ يَعُودَ غَنِيُّهُمْ عَلَىٰ فَقِيرِهِمْ. Tell them that the rich should visit the poor. وَقَوِيُّهُمْ عَلَىٰ ضَعِيفِهِمْ. The stronger in the community should visit the weaker. وَأَنْ يَشْهَدَ حَيُّهُمْ جِنَازَةَ مَيِّتِهِمْ. If a person dies from the Shia community, the Shia community should participate in that burial ceremony. Are we doing this, brothers and sisters? This is what the Ahlul Bayt have told us to do. We should take care of one another in the community. We shouldn't... Sometimes I see, unfortunately, we're very cold in our relationships, especially when it comes to the masjid. At home, okay, when relatives come, or somebody comes, we're really, really friendly, and we're laughing and joking and all of that. As soon as we come into the mosque, everyone with a distance extends their hands and no smile, no nothing, and then you leave. What is this, brothers? The hadith says the sixth Imam, salamullah alayhi, was traveling with one of his companions. They were in the same, they were traveling on the same camel. They had these things that one would sit on this side, the other one would sit on the other side of the camel. Okay. The Imam, they got down, the Imam had to go do something. He came back as soon as, very quick. He came back. And he said salam to him such that he thought, you know, he hadn't seen him for 3 days. You know, hugged him, embraced him, said salam, shook his hand. The other hadith says that the Imam shook my hand so hard that I started feeling pain in my fingers. And we get this cold handshake that just barely touches the other person's hand. We've got to be warmer, brothers and sisters, in our relationships. As Shias, we need to get together a little more. The ones that are more wealthy should take care of the ones that are less wealthy, that have got problems, they're in debt. Their families are falling apart because of this economic situation, and we have people that are living it up and taking their jets from one city to the other city to have lunch or dinner or whatever. What are we going to answer to the Imam? What are we going to answer on the Day of Judgment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Persons being mistreated in the community, we know about it. We don't do anything about it. If I do anything, then the bad guys are going to find out where I live and they're going to come and give me trouble too, so I'll just stay quiet. What are we going to answer, brothers and sisters, on the Day of Judgment? The last thing that he says, وَأَنْ يَتَلَاقَوْا فِي بُيُوتِهِمْ فَإِنَّ لُقْيَا بَعْضِهِمْ بَعْضًا حَيَاةً لِأَمْرِنَا رَحِمَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا أَحْيَا أَمْرَنَا. They should meet one another in their houses. Invite your Shia brothers because of that. Visit your Shia brother because of them being practicing. The other hadith says, if you visit your Shia brother, okay, your believing brother, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing else, you just want to visit him because of his faith, because of his iman. You want to visit him, you go to him, the hadith says, not me, says, you're visiting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what you're doing. Yes, it's very good, we have all kinds of hadith, gets family together too, but should get together with the Shias, with the good, believing, faithful, practicing. It has an effect on us too. It inspires me to also practice. As the Imam says, فَإِنَّ لُقْيَا بَعْضِهِمْ بَعْضًا حَيَاتٌ لِأَمْرِنَا. It keeps alive our message. We should unite like this, unite our hearts, okay? Doesn't matter if I celebrate Eid based on my taqleed on this day or the other day. Our hearts should be together. We should unite on this concept of imamah that we have. We should all pray for the coming of the 12th Imam. We want him to come. When he comes, inshallah, all of this will be resolved. We should all pray that when he comes, we all unitedly go under his banner and do whatever he says and tells us to do. If we don't unite on the right thing, okay, on what is right, on this concept of imamah, and put aside these practical differences that we have, we will end up uniting on the wrong, on batil. Amir al-Mu'mineen used to... used to tell the people around him in Kufa, after they had mistreated him, they didn't follow his orders when he wanted to go a second time to Safin to fight Muawiyah. He told them, the batil, the Ahlul Batil, okay, they're united on their batil and you're not even united on your haqq. You have something that's right, this is the truth, this is what's right, okay, you're not united on it. The ones that are batil are united on it. The whole world is united that the state of Israel should exist, okay, and we're not united in having one event in our community. We will end up uniting on batil. The people who invited Imam Hussein salamullah alayh to Karbala, if they had united when the Imam was coming, if they had kept their unity, 18,000 people pledged allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil. Okay? You think one Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad can come and break that? If 18,000 people would have stuck together, kept united, nobody would have been able to do anything. They didn't unite on that. When he came, some of them out of fear, the other ones were paid. They started, their hearts, according to the hadith, says the hearts were with the Imam, so they still believed that they should be with the Imam, but their swords came to be against the Imam. They united on batil. They came to Karbala, those same people that wrote the letters to the enemy. Some of the heads of that, the commanders in that army, were the people that had written letters to the Imam. They united on batil. We don't unite on haqq, something will come up. We'll start uniting on batil, brothers. And God forbid we may do something like the people did in Karbala. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا مظلوم يا أبا عبد الله. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, what did those people unite on? They watched one another brutally kill the companions of the Imam. They united on disrespecting, in hurting, and harming the family of the Prophet of Allah. They got together, surrounded Ali and Al-Akbar, each of them with the sword that they had, or the spear, or stones, They used to throw them at Ali al-Akbar, salamullah alayh. When the Imam got down on the day of Ashura, the whole enemy was united on killing the Imam. Single-handedly he started fighting the people. He got tired. He raised his shirt to clean off the sweat on his forehead. Harmala saw the chest of the Imam. He took an arrow and shot it at the heart of the Imam. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. When the Imam was gone, the enemies all united on attacking the tent of the Imam. Those women and children were left with the enemies, with these ruthless men that couldn't give water to Ali and al-Asghar. What are they going to do with the women and children? What will they do with Sakina? What did they do to Sakina? Just imagine. The tents are burning. There's fire everywhere. The men are attacking. They're taking the belongings of the women. Ya Allah, la ilaha illallah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdillah wa'ala al-arwaah al-mati halat fina'ik alayka minni salamullah أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. إن شاء الله we'll say this together in Karbala. Imagine yourself there, say it together. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. Oh Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents and all those who have taught us the word and have gone to forgive them.